In the name of our living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. On Wednesday, this past Wednesday, I spent the day with my 15-year-old nephew, James, at Stone Mountain Park, which is just about 30 minutes east of downtown Atlanta. On one hand, it's a typical tourist trap. It had a little 4D movie, had a putt-putt golf, and bad but expensive food. But on the other hand, it is, by the law of the Georgia legislature, a memorial to the Confederate States of America. As you drive in to get your ticket to park, you'll see flagpoles bearing all the flags, current state flags of those states that were part of the Confederacy. But at the heart of it all is Stone Mountain itself, which, if you haven't seen it, it's a 900-foot granite monolith that rises baldly out of the woods and has on one side of it the largest relief carving in the world, much bigger than Mount Rushmore's carving. And this carving is, I kid you not, of Jefferson Davis, President of the Confederacy, General Stonewall Jackson, and that Southern state, General Robert E. Lee, all on horseback. And the carving was first conceived in 1915. A little bit of work was done, and then the war came. And then it was picked up in 1925, and then the Depression came. And in 1963, the Stone Mountain Memorial Association chose, and this is new information to me, Walker Kirkland Hancock of Gloucester, Massachusetts, to complete the carving. Work resumed and was completed in 1972 when I was a senior at the University of Georgia. And I thought, this carving's pretty cool. It's an amazing thing to see. But then, you know, my ancestors came to this country from England and France as paying customers on ships and not as human property chained in the hold. But after all the trauma of this past couple months with about the Confederate battle flag flying over the State House grounds in Columbia, South Carolina, I couldn't help but see this carving with new eyes. As you might imagine, I'm not alone in that experience. The Atlanta newspaper, while I was there, noted that there's no real chance that the carving is going to be removed. Nobody's going to go up there with dynamite and blow it up, hopefully. But there may be a way to add something to it to complete the history. So they printed some wag decided to print an editorial cartoon by someone named Mac Williams. And you can go online and see all this. And it shows, it adds to the, if you're looking at, you've got Jefferson Davis and then Lee and then Stonewall Jackson. And then right to the right of Stonewall's horse are the rapper, the Georgia rappers, Big Boy and Andre 3000 of Outkast in a convertible Cadillac. On a more serious note, someone suggested that what could be added to the carving would be the words from the Atlanta native Martin Luther King Jr. from his famous 1963 I Have a Dream speech, where, as you remember, at the end he said, "Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring." And when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." As you recall, King's speech that day begins as a political address. He mentions the Emancipation Proclamation and then the Declaration of Independence. But by the time he gets going good, King moves from politics to preaching. And at the heart of this dream that he sees is the passage we had today, we just heard from Ephesians, where St. Paul tells us that the miracle of the incarnation and crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ heals ancient animosities and hostilities and creates one new humanity. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups, Jew and non-Jew, into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He's abolished the law and its commandments and ordinances that he might create one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it." This is at the heart of the good news. In Jesus Christ, God has created a new humanity. It is a new creation. The Greek is one new human being. So that finally, the human race can experience a communion so that hope conquers despair. Nonviolence replaces destruction. Peace replaces war. Because the causes that divide us have been overcome. Jesus becomes sinful humanity in order to kill that on the cross, so we could receive a new humanity from God. So something real and eternal happened in Christ. You remember, many of you, Albert Schweitzer in the early 20th century, that great humanitarian and theologian, said he saw what Jesus Christ was about and all his healings, which we heard about in Mark's gospel and preaching. He noticed that Jesus noticed that didn't bring about the kingdom. It didn't have the, maybe didn't have the result he expected. So he threw himself, Christ threw himself under the wheel of history, hoping to break it. When, of course, what happened, the wheel of history broke him. Yet, with resurrection and Pentecost, the wheel of history began to turn in the other direction. And this is why Paul could say in Galatians this incredible thing. There is no longer, and this is a modern paraphrase I give, there is no longer American and non-American. There's no longer black and white. There's no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. So you and I, baptized into Christ, are filled with the Spirit of Christ. We are the body of Christ and are commanded by the Lord Christ to bear witness to this one new humanity. And we do this every day. And so when we practice this vision of the new humanity, we may experience suffering at the hands of those who are unready and unable to give up their cherished identity with its embedded fears and insecurities. Jesus lost his life at the hands of those protecting themselves against his radical boundary breaking. Dr. King and countless women and men across time were more willing to live into the truth of Jesus Christ than to live into the fear and hatred and violence of those who circle up the wagons to keep the so-called alien other far away. You know, if all humanity needed, if all you and I needed was a little forgiveness and teaching, then God could have phoned in salvation. But the illness that troubles us isn't like a rash on the skin, it's like a tumor in the brain, requiring a radical and invasive surgery. Because this tumor activates the zones in the brain that create the fear and hatred of the other. So Christ is the surgeon, if you will, who makes house calls, head calls, heart calls to burn away the old reactive pattern, that neural loop of fear and anger and violence that has run for millennia. So in our time, the in-between time of the coming of the kingdom and the fulfillment of the kingdom, Jesus' Spirit empowers us to grow beyond this reactive setting where we just react, with the ability to move from reaction to reflection. And after reflection, to move to trust and surrender to Christ and to prayer, and then to reach out in love. And this is the mission of the church, or one way to talk about it, to proclaim and bear witness through our actions in the world this new humanity as a living reality. We do this as individuals. We do this as a church. We cannot have Holy Communion without this. So Paul puts it this way. So then we are no longer strangers and aliens. We are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. He said, in former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind. We didn't know any better. But now it has been revealed. That is, the nations have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Amen.